You want to know how important this show is?
Ravel's at the supermarket?
No, he's getting his hair cut.
Okay. I knew he was somewhere.
Really? You're getting a haircut while you're doing the show?
I am. So if you hear music in the background or scissors snipping, my day got all messed up because of a story. So I had to rearrange my schedule. And, you know, when you do TV stuff, every once in a while, you got to get your hair cut. And that once in a while was now.
Well, and so you're going to tell us what the story is?
Yeah, well, wait, as the intrepid reporter, we want to know now what was the story that messed up your day.
They wanted a primer on what's going to go down tomorrow, as we've talked about in Daily Fantasy. Oh. Tomorrow's the big day where Judge is going to determine in the New York Supreme Court, which is actually the lower court, whether or not to give the injunction to the Attorney General, who wants to stop them from accepting wagers or business with New York customers. And it's going to be an hour at the worst time ever, right before Thanksgiving, making me go into the city, and it's going to take me like 4 hours to get out of there.
Oh, but, poor baby.
But he might rule from the bench, and he might say, I'm going to take a couple weeks. But obviously this could be a big loss tomorrow for the Daily Fantasy guys.
So do they submit written statements, or is there actually a witness stand?
So there's extensive briefs. There is no witness stand. They submitted their final briefs yesterday, so the judge will have read those ahead of time. And then what's going to happen is each FanDuel, DraftKings, and the Attorney General each get 20 minutes to kind of just talk through things,
right,
with the judge answering questions. And then he, again, might make a determination or might say, I'm going to take 2 weeks and figure it out. And then the judge will make a determination whether business stops as the trial takes place or it doesn't. At stake is 10% of each of their businesses, more than 600,000 customers,
right,
more than $200 million in entry fees paid by New Yorkers in 2015. So there's a lot at stake, plus the fact that even though each state decides what to do, you know, obviously New York is the financial capital and is the number one market, and people care more and there's more sway with New York.
But, Darren, you've got to think that he's not, if he's going to do a Q&A with the three parties tomorrow, he's not going to rule in the hour.
We might.
Well, some people say that there's enough information at this point. I mean, there's 50-page filings, so he might have enough information if he goes through it. Now, the other thing is he might not rule on whether it's a game of skill or chance, which suggests is it gambling or not. He might just say, you know, I'm uncomfortable with what the Attorney General calls and what I think is deceptive advertising. And maybe he splits it up and says, based on what I think and what the Attorney General has accused them of doing deceptive advertising, maybe that's why I give the injunction. So I would say there's about a 20% chance that he rules from the bench tomorrow. The rest, 80%, you know, probably takes 1 or 2 weeks to decide.
Do you have an opinion on the legitimacy of these services?
It's just so weird, right? I mean, like, they've been arguing, the DraftKings and FanDuel, that yes, they're mostly skill, not chance. And the Attorney General says, well, it doesn't really matter because New York State says that it doesn't matter what percentage of chance is. As long as there is chance, it is not a game of skill. So the question, I mean, there's certainly some interpretations here. It is kind of strange how the Attorney General all of a sudden says, oh, well, I haven't heard of these things until, you know, a month ago, and now we think they're illegal. That being said, just because he hadn't heard of them, oh, here comes the buzzer. Just because he hasn't heard of them doesn't mean that, you know, they were legal. You know, if you're doing something illegal for 5 years and then all of a sudden someone discovers you, that doesn't mean you were legal. So it should be interesting. DraftKings has David Boies arguing for them, and you know, he's having seen him work before, he's a genius. So if anyone could get them out of this, it's him.
Worst case scenario for the two companies, the domino effect, snowball effect in other states?
It's an injunction, and they can't do anything in New York for a year, potentially, or as the trial goes on.
Right.
I think it's, yeah, maybe some other states follow and say, hey, our state law, you know, is kind of the same way. We don't go along with this. Yeah. I think the strangest thing, too, is that investors and players have been comforted by the fact that it had complied with what's called UEGA, the Unlawful Internet Gambling Enforcement Act of 2006. But that was a federal law that gave the exemption on daily fantasy. State law supersedes federal law in this case. And so I think that, you know, obviously that's not even in play here, which is funny, given that that's really what has given rise to the reason why $800 million in investment is poured into these two companies.
To be fair, that was the loophole that everybody thought was there
that allowed them to do it. Yeah. Yeah, so the Attorney General's office today just said, hey, we're just reminding you that we're not dealing with this loophole. It has nothing to do with our New York state law.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's another thing that's come about. I think one thing that's kind of comical is, you know, I feel like on a game of skill versus game of chance, the DraftKings and FanDuel have done a good job at that. Until 2 weeks ago, when a guy in Kansas City won second place in the NFL contest, $400,000, and he said to the local media, I can't name 10 players in the NFL.
Wow.
So the Attorney General led off his brief that was filed at midnight last night with that piece of information.
Well, I can't make up my mind what I want to have happen here, but we'll just watch and with some interest.
I will tell you, people did get what they want in that there are almost no ads anymore. I mean, at least during games have gone from every single
break to
almost nothing.
Yeah,
and I think, as we've talked about before, I think people have been bothered by that. People have been bothered by, you know, this getting into no campaign in the history of television had seen as much advertising as these guys did in the last 2 months.
No, I understand. And what's interesting is whether this is as a result of the actions by New York State or whether this is was a plan all along. Because you understand that,
right.
Like,
they say they were dialing down, but believe me, David Boyd, it doesn't cost anything less than $3,000 an hour. So you got to save up somewhere.
Yeah, I guess. The PGA Tour has voiced their displeasure with these daily fantasy websites and have barred their players from participating or promoting
in golf product.
Right. What does that mean, if anything?
Yeah, I don't, you know, like, I know that the NFL lets their players play daily fantasy as long as it's for less than $50 or something. NBA doesn't allow it. It's kind of hypocritical if you have relationships. I mean, the NBA and the NBA is an investor in daily fantasy company. Robert Kraft and Jerry Jones are investors. So you kind of got to wonder at what point, how many times can you draw the line and say, well, you know, it's this but that, or, you know. So I don't know. All I know is it continues to get murkier.
Well, I think it's imaging. You know, if you walk into a sports book in Las Vegas, one of the first things you'll find out very quickly is, well, if you ask, I suppose, is that employees are not allowed to bet where they work. If you walk into a casino, you walk into Caesar's Palace, Caesar's Palace employees are not allowed to gamble at Caesar's Palace. So,
and that's one of the things that triggered this whole thing, by the way.
When the guy went across the street.
Yeah. Otherwise, I'm sure what we have would have come to a head, but certainly not this quickly.
The other thing on the PGA side, I would assume that means that when you talk about advertising dollars, there's nowhere they're going to allow golfers to put FanDuel or DraftKings
Correct.
On shirts
Correct.
Or hats. Because Correct. Everybody else can be on shirts and hats. Almost.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah. And you would assume that with the kind of publicity that they've been trying to accumulate, they might pay a sizable amount to be on those hats.
Sure.
Forbes has released their list of the most valuable NHL teams, and there is actually a surprise on the list. Who dat?
Well, the Maple Leafs slipped down to third at, 1.18 billion?
Yep.
And who's first, the Canadiens?
Rangers. Isn't the Rangers?
Oh, the Rangers
are first,
right,
Canadiens
the
are second.
Are 1.2. Yeah. Right. Right, and then the Canadiens.
And then the
not surprising. I think obviously you look at MSG and see what they've done, and if you haven't been there, the bridge that they built, which kind of allows you to sit not over the ice, but kind of the bridge at the top. I think that's one of the coolest features in an arena. I mean, they didn't do much for their 1.6 billion or whatever, but you know, I think that bridge feature is really cool. Yeah.
Well, I mean, but obviously the reason they did the reno there, Darren, was because the garden doesn't pay tax. There's no city tax on that land, and that's one of the reasons why.
That's correct. That's correct. And there's also like 8 years left on the lease, and there's been no guarantee that they're going to allow them to renew it, which is hilarious.
Right.
That they did this without any guarantees that it would stay there.
Tells you how much money they make. It tells you how much money they make.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. They just got the Rangers just got to finish the deal again. You know.
By the way, you
see the big one, and then the Blackhawks. I mean, the Blackhawks. That's just an amazing. Yeah. You know, the fact that they're at four. Anyone who we've talked about this a million times. I mean, anyone who's seen where they were, you know, what 20 years ago. You know, that's. You just look at that and see that they're almost at a billion when big man Wirtz almost a submarine debt franchise.
Gary Bettman's salary was revealed. The National Hockey League did a tax filing, and of course then under those circumstances, the information therein becomes generally public. A decade ago, Gary Bettman earned $3.7 million for the year. During the 13-14 season, he made $9.6 million. Now, that pales in comparison.
Right, so with inflation, he's essentially probably doubling his salary.
Well, and I guess...
Which is commensurate with I think, other league guys. I mean, you probably see, you know, Stern probably went from 7 to 15. And, you know, God knows, if you look at Goodell at $44 million.
Well, that's just it, yeah.
You know, I mean, Bettman's essentially the CEO of a $2.5 billion company, and you know there are CEOs in that range who are making $10 million. I mean, just because it's sports, I wouldn't discount it or say it's much easier. Or it probably is, but you know, it's not necessarily on autopilot. But I don't think that number is completely outrageous.
No, I don't think it is either. On the other hand, I would say to you, it's hard for me to quantify the value of these CEOs for the most part.
Right. What is the, you know how we do replacement value? What is the replacement value?
Well, good point, yeah. What's the replacement value of any of them?
And we dealt that with Bob. I mean, we've kind of tried to figure that out with Goodell. What happens if you put Joe Blow in there?
That's right.
Would he have done a, because the owner's always like, oh, Roger's done a good job. Well, what would any random business dude who has any clue about business have done? I would say he probably would have done
pretty much the
same job or better than Roger Goodell.
Pretty much the same.
That's interesting. Because
you don't agree?
I've had a little bit of a peek on the inside of, at least from Gary's perspective, you know, Gary managed up brilliantly. That was his strength, managing those 30 owners. That's where, and it's funny, you call him the CEO
and
of the company.
That's what they're paid for.
And that's what they're paid for, to make sure that those 30 guys feel that they're being well represented. And everything there, did Gary have some faults? Does Gary, you know, and I'm sure everybody says, yeah, he does. But I'll tell you what, nobody managed 30 owners better than
I don't
Gary
begrudge.
Bettman.
I don't begrudge Gary that money.
No, I'm just
trying to. I have always had a difficult time understanding what the real value of CEOs are.
Yeah, it's good. The other difference between I would suggest between Gary and the other three commissioners is that in baseball and basketball, you only have one Canadian team. Gary has to manage a business in two different countries with two different currencies. That is really at times when you think that the lesser currency is actually driving so much more of the business.
Yeah.
And also, let's look at the obvious. I mean, he managed the bet, the big bet of shutting down for a year, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
So he managed that and it worked out.
Yeah.
So and then did something similar or was willing to go potentially. And I think the owners are a bet for it.
You finished your haircut now, or are they still working on you?
Yes, I mean, I'm just giving out the tips.
You don't don't do the razor shave or anything like that, too?
No. I shave myself.
Oh, no, the razor shave is the best. Don't razor shave's anyone. The best. Oh, yeah, it's the best.
John likes that.
Oh, I love it.
He likes the attention.
I do. It's the only place I get it. So.
They don't shave anything other than your face, though, do they? Steady. Ravel, lovely chatting with you as always. You look beautiful, by the way. I can't see you, but
I'll send you a pic.
Thanks, pal.